We'll get legal in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is the Rain Report for February 3rd, and I'm Larry McGlore, KB9DIP. It seems that everywhere one turns today, there are lawyers rewriting or trying to rewrite modern and not-so-modern law. Telecommunications lawyer Fred Hoppengarten, K1VR, has carved out a career of legal assistance for U.S. hams to circumvent CCRs, common covenants and restrictions, that prevent so many radio amateurs from erecting reasonable outdoor antennas. The federally mandated PRB1 legislation has been of some help in doing so for a number of years. However, as Fred pointed out in his 2017 Dayton Hamvention Amateur Radio and the Law Talk,
there are 23 states that do not presently have a PRB1 style statute within the state. But I want you to listen closely to what I'm about to say, even if you live in one of the other states that has an existing PRB1 style state statute, because your local amateur community may decide to get ambitious and seek modifications of the present statute along the lines that I've presented here with respect to some of these concepts. The existing PRB1 eventually wound up as 47 CFR section 9715B. That's the Code of Federal Regulations. These have all the power of a statute. Basically, it has three parts. Must not preclude. If there's an absolute prohibition on amateur radio, it's absolutely preempted. And then two other parts, which are referred to as a limited preemption, which is that they must reasonably accommodate amateur radio and represent the minimum practicable regulation. Minimum practicable, not the maximum allowable, which is what many communities aim for. In addition to that, there is a ruling, DA stands for Distributed Authority. In other words, one of the bureaus at the FCC was given the power to create a ruling with the power of the FCC. And this particular ruling in 1999, which is why it begins with 99-, also says that a balancing of interests, that is, balancing the community's interests with the interests of the radio ham, is forbidden. And finally, that the regulations must, and I'm quoting, not impinge on the needs of amateur operators. Let's propose a new state statute. This was written for Arizona. I assure you it's the kind of thing that would work everywhere I can think of in the United States. First of all, you have to give it an enticing title. I'm a lawyer. I'm loquacious. I prefer the longer form title, but you could go with the shorter form. It doesn't matter, because the active part of the statute is not the title. It's the active part. First, I would define the intent, and the intent would be to meet the need. And this is based on the paragraph 25 of PRB1, which says that a radio amateur is entitled to the effective communications that he or she desires. So I've just shortened that into meet the need. We want to mention effective communications that he or she desires to engage in. These are the words straight from the original PRB1. I'm not making this up, folks. This is already federal law. So there should be no objection to writing it into a state law, because after all, federal law is the supreme law of the land. I would define amateur radio this way, and I would not define it, as many states currently do, as holders of FCC-issued amateur radio licenses. And here's the reason. I want to be friendly to our friends from Canada who vacation in Florida. They are authorized users, but not licensed by the FCC. And I think that we'd like to be nice to them. We also have a lot of people from South America who are homeowners in Arizona, Texas, Florida, Georgia, lots of places. Some of them have ski homes. I'd like those radio hams who are our brothers and sisters in pursuit of the hobby to have the same kind of privileges we have. And the fact that they are not presently holding an FCC license should not forbid them to put up an amateur radio antenna, because they're duly authorized to operate amateur radio. This comes from an old Minnesota case from 1944, of all things. Guy had two lots, house on one, antenna on the other, and he wound up in litigation because the antenna was the principal use of the second lot. So I want to get rid of this requirement that it be the principal use. There is also law in New York and other jurisdictions which says approximately the same thing, but this particular case, Village of St. Louis Park versus Casey, involved the perfect set of facts. Radio ham, house on one lot, antenna on another.
You're listening to a 2017 Dayton Hamvention talk given by telecommunications attorney Fred Hoppengarten, K1VR, in which he discussed the need to adapt PRB1 federal regulation to state law. We'll conclude this excerpt from his presentation after I remind you that the Rain Report podcast is available via therainreport.com and heard during the amateur radio program block Saturday nights on radio station WTWW, 5085 kHz from Lebanon, Tennessee. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Rain Report from www.therainreport.com.
I presently have a case in New York where the guy's house is on a lot within a very large parcel. His antennas are in the rest of the parcel, the house is in the house lot parcel, and the city's going bonkers because even though the house and the antennas are all on the 90 acres he owns, the antennas are not on the house lot parcel. That's why this paragraph exists in the state statute. And again, it's not a new idea. Here, all I'm doing is writing in PRB 1, paragraph 25, to say that the test is not the communications that any rogue radio ham might wish. The guy who only wants to talk with his HT on 2 meters, he has effective communications that he desires, but the guy who wants to get on 40-meter JT65 can't, because he can't put up a decent antenna that's in any way going to be effective for the communications he desires. I had a case in Washington, the state of Washington, where a guy couldn't put his antenna all on his own lot. The gentleman here in the fifth row, had a comparable situation. He had permission from his neighbor for his antenna to rotate over the property line. So this is not theoretical. We have a guy right here in the audience who has lived through this exact situation. And I'm saying that if you have the written consent of your neighbor to let your antenna encroach on his property, or in the case where you own two lots side by side and you're encroaching on yourself, you ought to be able to give yourself permission to encroach on yourself. I don't think this is a big stretch of logic, frankly. I want to make it plain that especially for people who have the room to put it up, you're not limited to just one structure. And stealing from an Alaska statute, Alaska 29.35, if you want to put up new structures and you have at least 10,000 square feet per structure, you should be able to put it up as a matter of right. Again, since I'm borrowing from another state statute, this is not new. We're not inventing anything, not asking for a big stretch of the elastic band. And by the way, I also had no limit to the number of antennas as long as they're attached to your house. So you want 3 or 4 whips on the rooftop, no problem. I've run into that problem too in my practice. And because the federal law already says that balancing is not permitted, I'm writing it into the state statute. Not a stretch of the imagination. And I'm incorporating the existing law of PRB 1 as written, but I'm adding one small thing. The FCC has already written that onerous fees are not reasonable accommodation. I'm just writing it into the statute. As with many permitting things, I want to get the ham out from under the burden of persuasion. If the city wants to burden this property, let them have the burden. Now, states like North Carolina and Virginia, anybody here from North Carolina or Virginia? Which one? North Carolina has a very strong property owner's rights history of law in the state. So this would be almost an automatic under North Carolina law, just to point that out to you. But I'll tell you, we had a terrible time in Mecklenburg County. I had to keep a guy out of jail. And Because of a case that Bob and I are presently litigating, I want to make sure that it's absolutely plain that if the radio ham has to bring a lawsuit, he can bring it in either state or federal court. That's all. It was obvious until last year, and then the Third Circuit said it's not so obvious, and you have to bring it in state court first. That's not the case in six other circuits of the United States, but not the Third Circuit. So I want to incorporate this in a new statute passed anywhere. And dealing with the questions we've already had about grandfathering, I want all antenna structures built before the new zoning bylaw to be exempt from subsequent changes in a zoning bylaw. In other words, I'm writing the concept of grandfathering, which is not a new or novel concept, into this new proposed state statute. And I borrow this from Kansas Statutes Annotated 12-16,126G. Any people from Kansas here? Nobody from Kansas. I just had a lot of luck with N9GB and AC0C. They got their permits within the last couple of months.
And that's a wrap on this Rain Report, in which we featured Fred Hoppengarten, K1VR, a telecommunications lawyer who wants to have every state incorporate a PRB1-style statute. The Rain Report is copyright 1990, 2018 Rain. All rights reserved. It's available from therainreport.com. You can also hear this podcast Saturday nights around 9 p.m. Central Time on WTWW from Lebanon, Tennessee on 5085 kHz. I'm Larry McGlore, KB9DIP, bidding you very 73 from all of us connected with the Radio Amateur Information Network. Keep on hamming!